Texas is a part-time legislature. I know I hear from my constituents a lot of times, why do we need a full-time legislature? From the ground, what are the benefits of a part-time legislature?
Really, one of the things that's unique about Texas is we just want average people to be able to serve. It's intended to be a representative body of average citizens that just come to the Capitol. As you said, we meet once every 2 years and only for 140 days. I don't think that it really hinders us too much. For the most part, it makes it so that it's hard to pass laws. And you know what? It should be.
Welcome to Straight to the Point. I'm your host, Representative Joe DiOrsi. In a world of long-windedness, I'm here to deliver you the Capitol news in 10 minutes or less. So let's get straight to the point. So welcome to the Straight to the Point podcast. I'm Representative Joe DiOrsi, and I am joined from afar, actually in Central Time, by House District 55's own in the Texas State House, Hillary Hickland. Hillary, thanks for joining STTP.
It is so great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
So interesting connection. Why would a listener might ask, why would you be having a Texas State House member on? Well, you used to live in Williamsport, and we had a local church connection. I heard that you were running for Texas. And actually, the last time you were on my cast, you hadn't yet been elected. But we discussed school choice, which was just in the works. It was a major national headline. There were a lot of contested primaries around this topic. You, of course, won your seat race in House District 55, and you've accomplished it. You've accomplished universal school choice in Texas. Tell me about the journey.
Oh, it is really surreal. So cool to be a part of. It's huge, especially the issue of school choice. It's one that is really a universally supported across the political spectrum, and it's a winner issue. And thankfully, we just had a couple cogs in the way, and we were able to clear it and really make significant progress and movement on an effort that had been fighting for over 30 years. So to come in at the tail end of this victory after, you know, so many people have been working hard for it, was so rewarding and such an honor. It was a hard-fought battle. I mean, those debates on the floor were brutal, but so worth it, and we're well on our way.
So Governor Abbott, of course, was a huge advocate for this program. I know there was a lot of groups on both sides weighing in there in Texas. Was this something, as you began session, was this a first order of business?
Absolutely. It was the priority for that session. They were calling it the education session, and really focusing on how to improve our public schools, as well as providing options for parents who needed something different but couldn't access it because of funding or, you know, economic challenges, which when it comes to education, that's so wrong. So thankfully, we have been able to open the doorway for all families to at least have the option for the best education for their children.
Yeah. So before we came on live, we were discussing the momentum nationwide on school choice. Certainly, I've been fighting for it in my limited time in the Pennsylvania legislature, but the numbers are pretty telling. It's at least 7 out of 10 Pennsylvanians are for school choice. Did you see the same type of numbers and momentum in Texas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, there were just some remaining representatives that were standing in the way and actually not looking at the polling, not listening to their constituents, but only listening to a handful of people who for so long had a vice grip on the control and trajectory of education. Most of them had a vested interest in maintaining the status quo, and it wasn't what's best for the kids. So the momentum came on that issue, and we saw a huge swing. I mean, my freshman class had over 30 that came in specifically on the issue of school choice, and finally we were able to get it across the line.
Yeah, other states have fallen the course of the dominoes, and we're hoping that Pennsylvania might be one of the next. I have to ask you this before we get into the new national headline coming out of the Lone Star State of redistricting. Texas is a part-time legislature. I know I hear from my constituents a lot of times, Why do we need a full-time legislature? You guys are paid too much. Why are you, you know, always in Harrisburg? And I tend to agree with them. What, from the ground, what are the benefits of a part-time legislature? Do you do more when you're in session? Do your constituents like that you're not always in the Capitol?
Well, I think so, and I like it too. It's really one of the things that's unique about Texas is we just want average people to be able to serve. It's intended to be a representative body of average citizens that just come to the Capitol. As you said, we meet once every 2 years and only for 140 days. There are exceptions. Like right now, we have a special session that the governor's called for certain issues, but I don't think that it really hinders us too much. Certainly there are extra challenges when it comes to the budget. We have to look 2 years ahead. But for the most part, it makes it so that it's hard to pass laws. And you know what? It should be. So the laws that make it through all the hurdles are the ones that really need to pass and go through all those filters of the time and the hustle and, you know, the both chambers. And then it actually gives us a year to see the rollout and adjust to the new legislation. For me personally, as a mom of four school age kids, that's one of the reasons that I thought, you know what, I could do this. And we need people that are living real lives, have real things at stake, real vested interest versus maybe somebody that is retired and can. I think it opens up the opportunity for more people to serve than maybe with a full-time legislature.
Yeah, it would be a behemoth to revise since we're already at the full-time legislature status in Pennsylvania. But I would venture to say if you polled voters, constituents, they would be in favor of a part-time legislature. But having that translate to Harrisburg might be a different story. So we have this national story about redistricting, gerrymandering. It happens everywhere. But the mainstream media narrative, just from the outside looking in, has been, you know, this far-right initiative that freezes out voters in Texas. What's the real story from the ground?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that that's been the narrative that's kind of dominated the headlines. I think overall, you cannot, and we can see by the last election and how President Trump was elected specifically in Texas, by the popular vote, he won 242 of the 254 counties. President Trump flipped 10 border counties that had previously gone Democrat because it was more about just the man, which I think that's one of the things that the media wants to make it about is about Trump, but it was really about these America First policies and a return to common sense. We wanted a secure border, which President Trump has successfully done. Before that, Texas was essentially abandoned by the Biden administration, and we had to deal with international relationships when that's not really the position of the state, but we had to pick that up, and it was very costly to the tune of over $13 billion of our state budget. So that's one little rabbit trail, but we want election integrity. We want a good economy. We want just common sense in education and these far left socialist policies that the Democrats are just yoking themselves to don't align with the majority of Texans. And so when we see this giant shift and we've had such an influx to our state, this is a response to the political performance that we saw. It's just an answer to it. Mm-hmm. And serving, I happen to actually serve on the redistricting committee. And as we heard, multiple times, we had four hearings about the subject of redistricting, and then we had a hearing on the specific map. But we actually had Congress members come and testify and flat out say their goal was to impeach President Trump and hinder him from furthering his agenda. And that's just not what we want. We want his policies. We don't want Congress hindering the progress of what we need here in America. And so it's a big deal. Texas has taken it on. I'm proud to be a part of that fight, but something that's much bigger than even our state.
Yeah. So gerrymandering or redistricting isn't anything new. It's from its founder, Eldridge Gerry, who realized the political ramifications of certain districting plans in Massachusetts. And I can say anecdotally, the last census and the redistricting that followed in Pennsylvania really discriminated against Republican voters. In fact, President Trump won Pennsylvania by, I believe, if my memory serves me, about 2 percentage points, and not a single House seat changed. So it really was a bulletproof plan that was favored by Democrats. Arguably, it didn't follow the confines of the Constitution. You've seen, I'm sure, the Illinois plan that has some very awkwardly shaped districts. So my question, Hillary, is why are those plans that were pretty clearly purely political different than the Texas plan?
Well, right now, the new maps, if you look at it, it's the easiest thing to defend. Even looking at the various districts are more compact versus the some of the districts were just crazy shapes. You can see they were obviously going to scoop certain areas to the benefit of one particular party or one area. And what you said, it's not against the Supreme Court has supported drawing lines based on political performance. So, but in general, the map is much more compact. The lines that have been drawn in the new map go along county lines, a lot of natural borders and barriers. Counties are made whole, whereas before they were cut in half. I mean, we can even look at certain districts and see, yeah, that doesn't really make sense. And now there's been a restoration to a more compact map. So, and then, you know, the subject of race always gets brought up. And that's so frustrating to me because you cannot look at minorities as a monolithic voting block for one party. And the last election shows that here in Texas, the majority of Hispanics voted for Trump. The majority of Asians voted for Trump. And we're seeing a huge swing in the conservative direction for other minorities. So that's one of the things that people always want to make it about. But if you look even at the dynamics and the demographics of the five new districts that have been drawn, four of them will now have Hispanic majority, but you're not hearing that in the media. And also previously in the current map, there are no majority African-American districts. And now with the proposed map, there will be two. So those are facts that are not being conveyed in the media, but it's reality. I stand behind this map. I think it's really fair and easy to defend.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're hearing on the mainstream media is excellent brazen threats from Governor Newsom in California, which has no stake in what happens in Texas other than people fleeing his state to move to the Lone Star State. But it's really important context that you're sharing. It actually seems like a fairer system that you've developed.
Absolutely. It reflects the political performance. That's what we're looking at, and that's what Texans deserve. Texans deserve representation that reflects our values, and so that's really the focus. I'm not worried about having to defend this map. I'm happy to do it, and we will end up doing that very soon on the floor of the House.
Yeah. So, lightning round question here. I have to ask you, as a freshman legislator, I'm now in my sophomore season. I'm the senior member. Not exactly, but between you and I, I'm senior. What have you learned, and what are some of the biggest takeaways from your first session?
Every bill needs a marketing strategy. There's so much sales in politics. I didn't know that, but thankfully that is the small amount of professional experience that I have. I mean, as a stay-at-home mom, I didn't really develop my career necessarily. But then I was so surprised coming into this role to see that the skills that I had gained over, you know, my lifespan were actually very useful just in communicating and getting people to come alongside you to pass legislation.
Yeah. So she represents the 55th House District in the Lone Star State. She's Hillary Hickland. Hillary, thanks for joining STTP.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. Thanks.
This has been Straight to the Point. Visit repjod.com/mypodcasts.